This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, Peter Kessler is a golf historian. He's a television and radio host, and he joins us after the big golf championships, and I think the President's Cup was a big golf championship. We'll find out. It's a pleasure to welcome Peter Kessler back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, Peter.
Great to be with my buddy. How are you today?
You know, I'm all right. You doing okay?
I'm doing okay.
Did you watch much of the President's Cup?
Medium. I mean, you know, certainly when it was over with one day to play, I gave it pretty scant attention on the Sunday. You know, it's hard to work up an appetite for an event that the score is already in. I watched a little bit. I just, you know, the primary issue, for, I think, in terms of watching this is there's too much spread out over too many days. They could have everybody play Friday, everybody play Saturday, everybody play Sunday. You can, you know, do best ball on Saturday. Yeah. You could do alternate on Friday and singles on Sunday, and I think everybody'd be happy.
Well, you know, I wondered about that, and the Ryder Cup is a 3-day format, and I have to believe a 4-day format, I have to believe, is what the players want. But I did find that interesting also.
I would have thought that they would not have wanted 4 days, that, you know, if you're going to do 4 days and let everybody play all 4 days like you do in a regular golf tournament, you don't get one of the days off or sit out a session. And, you know, I think the appetite for 4 days would be stronger if the competition was such that, well, the teams were more evenly matched. And for a variety of reasons, that hasn't happened really since the President's Cup began. You know, it was true for the Ryder Cup from 1927 until 1983, and nobody paid any attention to it until Europe joined Great Britain and Seve and Jose Maria and all of those other guys from Europe were able to join the team, and Tony Jacklin was the captain for four straight Ryder Cup years from 83 through 89. That's when it got interesting, when it got competitive. So the lack of competitiveness, you know, really makes it tough when you draw it out.
You know, it was not competitive this year. It was competitive a couple of years ago in Korea. Which was the anomaly? Which one stood out?
Well, you know, anything can happen over a round of golf. You know, Bobby Jones said, we know that 18 holes is a round of golf, but we don't know that it's a test of golf, and that's why we play 72 holes in championships, so that the better player over the longer route is more likely going to win as the luck, good and bad, evens out. And so I think you're always going to have the possibility of a close competition when you're playing a series of individual rounds and not having a cumulative score individually for each of the days. So I think it would be very unusual and statistically improbable not to have a close one now and again. But certainly, you know, when you put Spieth with anyone against any other two players on the international side, and you're always going to put Spieth with somebody who's just as good as Spieth, you know, there's clearly an advantage there, because we're at a point now in men's golf where Americans are dominant, and I think it's going to carry over to the Ryder Cup. I think we've got a chance at looking at the next 10 years where the Americans could win every single one of both competitions, the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup, every single year for the next 10 years. If you look at the nucleus of the U.S. team, the guys are pretty young. You look at the Ryder Cup team, the spread starts to go towards guys closer to 40 with, you know, Henrik Stenson and Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood, who's closer to 50 now than he is to 40. So you don't have as much young firepower either on the European Ryder Cup team or the International Cup team at this point that would carry forward for a long period of time, where on the other hand, you got all these guys who are 22, 23, and 24 years old playing for the Americans side, and they're going to play for another 10 or 12 years. So I think we were just in a transitional phase, I think, with Ryder Cup, but I think now we're in a dominant phase with both cups for quite a long time to come.
We're talking with Peter Kesler here on the Augusta Golf Show. All right, to your point, and the way the format is now structured, one of the things that's come up in the last few days is maybe the singles ought to come first and not last. Do you like that idea?
I don't have a problem with that. No, one of the things that I like about it, I hadn't heard that bandied about, but you know, one of the things I do like about it is that everybody plays on the first day. And quite frankly, I'd be happy to see it be a shotgun if you're going to have everybody play on the very first day and you're going to have 12 matches instead of spreading it out over such a long period of the day. I think you could ramp up the excitement by having quick cuts from one hole to another hole when you have a shotgun kind of a situation. The thing will move much more quickly. I think it'd be much more exciting. And the teams tend to, in individual golf, follow the theory of Jones, which said it's not necessarily a test of golf. So the weaker team can certainly have a really great run over an 18-hole match where you're just talking about singles. So, yes, I think that would be a healthy. I think that would be a healthy thing. And I think that, you know, if you think about a regular golf tournament or a major championship, the action is taking place over 18 holes at one time. And so you have a crowd of 50,000 people spread out over 18 holes. In the Ryder Cup or in the President's Cup, the action's really taking place over four holes at any particular time. So it's a very, very difficult event to be a fan at because you've got 12 and 13,000 people per hole for each of four holes instead of 50,000 being spread over 18 holes where you can see something. So I would be very much in favor in having action on many more holes than we do at the same time. And if the cameras can catch a major championship and cover 18 holes, they can certainly cover, if you had all of the singles on the first day, 12 matches taking off simultaneously.
Yeah, but under your format, we don't get those goofballs singing on the first tee.
You'll still show up and sing, I'm sure. I don't think you ever cared about the circumstance. I think you could still have the guys, you know, the first tee can still be, you know, a big production because everybody's going to play that hole at some point in the round. And because if you start, say, on holes 1 through 12, everybody's going to end up playing the first hole. So you could still have all the goofy stuff taking place. It just might take place over a number of holes in addition to the first hole. So not to worry. The craziness will still exist.
Before I let you go, 2018 will mark 10 years since Tiger won that last major. In the 10 years that have followed, Peter, do you think anyone has distinguished themselves to the point of being the next great player? Rory has kind of come and gone. We've got Justin there. We've got Jordan there. But has anybody picked up that mantle?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, and it points to me, the crux of being a championship golfer, which requires two things. You have to be able to win, of course, because that's the hardest thing to do. But it may be almost equally as hard, if not as hard, to consistently put yourself in position to be able to win a championship over championships over a long period of time. You know, until 1980, really, you all either had a situation where you had a dominant player or three dominant players. You know, in the 1890s, you had three guys. You had Harry Vardon, and you had J.H. Taylor, and you had James Braid. And in the 20s, you had Sarazen, Hagen, and Jones. And then you had Nelson, Snead, and Hogan. Then you had Palmer, Nicklaus, and Player. And that carried through to almost 1980. Even though Arnold wasn't winning championships in the 1970s, he was still relevant. But you had the introduction of a slew of great players over that time period as well. You know, we had Billy Casper, and we had Lee Trevino, and we had Tom Watson, and we had Tom Weisskopf, and Seve was, you know, entered in the mid-1970s, and we had Ben Crenshaw, guys who were capable of winning multiple major championships, but with three guys who were slightly above the pack over that period of time by virtue of the number of majors that they won. But from 1980 through 96, you had a revolving door cast of characters. Greg Norman was best for a while. Was Faldo best from 87 through 96 with six major championships? You had Watson still winning majors in the early 80s. You had Seve winning major championships. You had Curtis Strange. You had Tom Kite. You had Nick Price as well. But it was a revolving door cast of characters because there wasn't somebody who was able to consistently be in contention to win and close. Norman got himself in position to win almost all of the time. You know, for 300 and some odd weeks, he was number one in the world, but he only ended up with two majors, which goes to my point of the two hardest things to do are to win and to consistently be in position to win. And then, of course, when Tiger came on the scene professionally in late 1996, we found somebody else like Nicklaus, like Jones, like other people before him, who were able to consistently be in position to win and to consistently win. And I think that part of the reason that we don't have somebody like that now is that the equipment has become so good that to separate yourself from the pack by virtue of your skill set with the equipment that you have to use is very, very difficult to do. And that's why we have a revolving cast of characters at the top, which to me resembles, just coincidentally, nothing to do with equipment now, 80 through 1996. And I don't see, except for possibly Justin Thomas, possibly Jordan Spieth, somebody who's going to become a dominant player who's always in position and closes a lot. Dustin Johnson is at the same age now that Tiger Woods was when he had 14 majors, and he has won. So it's not going to be him, and it's not going to be Henrik Stenson, who's 40, who we mentioned. So I think that we're in a revolving door period, and I think golf is less interesting because of that, because for whatever the reasons are that we feel internally, we like to see somebody who's better than everybody else plying their trade, or one or two guys that you can consistently count on to be in position to win come the weekend in golf's most important championships.
Yeah, I think that's those are great points, especially about the equipment. He is Peter Kessler, golf historian, television, radio host. I always love having him on. Peter, thank you for taking the time. We'll talk again.
I'd love to be with you, buddy.